Hey there, I'm Daniel Messer, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. This is the 30th episode of the Cyberpunk Librarian podcast. 30 episodes? I never thought I'd get that far along. I was okay with 10, I was mildly surprised by 20, but here we are at episode 30, and I'm actually kind of shocked. So I wanted to do something different and fun and have a story time episode where you don't have to worry about taking in all the tech tips and tricks. Maybe something where you can sit back and partake in a grand tradition in the library world. Something that got many of us started with our library love affairs. The tradition of story time. I wrote this story a while back and thought some of you might enjoy it. It harkens back to the days of pulp science fiction, high adventure in deep space, pirates, robots, and ray guns. Oh, and there's a librarian, too. Of course there is. And not just any librarian, either. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as we blast off into the future with Intergalactic Librarian. Intergalactic Librarian, The Adventures of Skylar and Jessica, Part 1, Other Duties as Assigned. The monitor came to life, rousing itself out of the torpor of the inactivity cycle. I looked up, half interested in whatever might appear. Sure enough, another request for information. You know, you'd think that everyone would know how to use the Interstellar Directory by now. You can get anything on the ID, you just gotta know how to ask. I smiled my they-pay-me-to-do-this smile, and asked how I could help. Turns out all they wanted was the coordinates for Beta Centauri. It took all of, 1.2 seconds to find that out? I'd normally reserve that kind of information over in some ready reference pile. But like using the ID, you'd think everyone would know how to get to Beta Centauri. Yes, yes, it is lovely. Big? Oh, yes, right. Uh-huh. Yes, variable stars are interesting. Can I help you find anything else? No? Okay, you take care now. Killing the link, I returned to my reading. Time plodded on and the screen went blank again, kicking over into its low-power mode. Sometime later, the bell went off and the monitor popped into glow. Damn it, I thought, what now? Turning away from my work, I saw the small red lamp flashing away on the desk. An internal call, I said to myself in the semi-illuminated hallway that doubled as my workroom. I hadn't had one of those calls since... Well, have I ever had one of those? I couldn't remember. Other branches rarely called this one because of its remoteness, orbiting some couple hundred million miles away from your average Class M star and floating about 20 light-years from anything interesting. Well, let's just say that this branch of the Galactic Public Library and Information Center wasn't on the road to anything even approaching interesting. That's why I was here. Speak truth to power, and they transfer your ass out into the backwaters of the cosmos. I guess they figured me to be old-fashioned, and thus stuck me out in this equally old-fashioned recycled starship, serving as the head librarian to empty space and supervising an android page named Jessica. They probably thought it fitting, dumping me out here with all the archaic items in the Galplik collections. My argument that books should be preserved, even after computer conservation, fell upon the deaf ears of the right-thinking and forward-moving directorate. So they gave me 2 days to either pack up and ship out, or face a termination board. Granted, my argument for preservation included referencing the Directorate's maternal lineage and their assumed professions. So I packed up and moved out here, where almost every shelf was built off-kilter by some idiot with his own three hands. I shored them up with various bits of faux wood laying around. That 10-tier monstrosity filled with the historical epics of Loretha almost buried me underneath it when it fell over. Don't get me wrong, I love history, and the Loretha are a nifty species, what with their iridescent skin and piercing green eye stalks. I even dated one while attending the university and finishing up my degree in library science and intergalactic information architecture. That doesn't mean I want to die underneath their hand-lettered genealogies, though. Straightening my shirt, I sauntered over to the link and punched the answer button. The monitor went full power, and my coordinator appeared on screen. Chauncery was a thin, balding man, probably 60 standard years old. He wore suits that cost more than I made in six paychecks, and they still look like he slept in them after an all-night bender. He's officious, bureaucratic, administrivial, and petty. Other than that, he's an okay guy. "Skyler," he said, sounding quite the muckety-muck, "how's things?" "Decent," I said. "I managed to shut Jessica off when she wasn't paying attention, so it's been fairly quiet around here." "Good, good." He didn't give the slightest bit of a damn. "Listen, I'm sending a supply ship out early this time around. Bellagen has to take some time off." "Oh, his mate's about ready to hatch that brood, huh?" I said. "Bellagen is the courier delivering the groceries and picking up the odd item I send out of here from time to time. He's nice, and usually stays around for an hour or so, talking and drinking. He provided the distraction I needed to hit Jessica's power switch without her noticing." Jessica found herself shipped out here to the periphery branch because something in her programming suppresses her ability to shut up. It got really bad there for a couple of days. Robots, after all, don't need to take a breath between sentences. She's a hard worker, and she got this place set up nicely as she scooted around on her monoball drive. She just never quits talking. Bellagen's mate, Namkala, had been ready to hatch her young for the last 5 months. Apparently, halcyon gestational periods run for some time. "Yes," Chauncery said, adjusting his tie. It didn't help. "He's on his homeworld now, so we've got a temp making the deliveries. A Mr. Johnson," he said, checking a handheld readout. I smiled inwardly that Captain Bureaucrat couldn't remember such a common human name. "Sounds good," I said. "When can I expect him?" "A few standard hours from now, actually, so gather your shipment and have it ready." Shipment, I thought. Who's he kidding? One small crate of materials, one smaller crate of recyclables, and a talkative android. Except they'd never take the android. Oh well, can't blame me for trying. I shot everything else into the star. Garbage disposal is easy when you have a nearby star and at least one working mass cannon. A little back and forth along with the ass-kissing in proportions befitting a middle management flake, I packed up the crates. I wondered. New guy. Temp worker. Maybe he'll take the fraggin' android. I loaded Jessica into a low-grav cart and shuffled her off to the room near the docking bay. A quick trip around the place and I had everything ready. I walked back to my desk and sat down, thumbed the book to where I left off, and waited. Sometime later, the link fired up again, and I pressed the answer button. A stout face flickered on the monitor. He looked like he'd been in a bar fight or two, and probably lost both of them. Regular spacer, I guess. They'll take whatever job you throw at them. "Skyler Pedersen? Name's Johnson. I'm inbound with your supplies and need docking codes for the lock." "Hey, Johnson. No worries. I'm transmitting the codes across the channel, and you should have them in just a couple of seconds." My fingers tapped a few keys, relaying the code sequence. "Got it," Johnson said. "I'll be docking in 5. Using my butt, I shoved the chair out from behind me and headed for the airlock. Halfway there, I heard something. I work in a mostly empty starship supervising a damned empty library. I know the sounds of this ship. I should not have heard what sounded like magnetic tow cables slamming into the upper hull near the bridge. Raising an eyebrow, I jogged over to the view screen mounted on the wall and called up the exterior view. Sure enough, a medium-sized freighter was moving into dock, with 3 tow cables streaming out from its hard points. "Son of a bitch," I snapped. "The bastard's trying to lift the entire library." I sprinted back to my desk and yanked open the bottom drawer. I threw a couple files over my shoulder and grabbed the ion blaster I kept underneath it. It came as a surprise to the directorate that books are actually quite valuable in certain sectors of the galaxy. While they initially hesitated at fulfilling my request for a Mark 11 Turbo Ham Blaster, they acquiesced when I explained that I'd have something to do on the target range downstairs. I figured they hoped I'd shoot something valuable and they could fire me. I slammed a charger into it and ran back to the airlock just as the docking alarm went off. He was coming in. I guess he didn't want a librarian tagging along for the ride. I crouched around the corner of the door, waiting. The alarm silenced and the airlock released the pressure, equalizing the insides of my ship and his. As the door opened, I saw the blaster rifle in his hand and raised my gun. He entered my ship as if he owned it. I guess he figured that a librarian would be easy to take, and that might provide me some surprise. Fine. I took aim and pulled the trigger. And the shot blasted right into the wall behind him. No one ever said I could shoot well. He threw himself to the ground and brought his rifle up, sending a round or two in my direction. Damn, I thought. So much for the couple hours I spent on the target range. I decided an expeditious retreat was in order and hightailed it back to the entrance to the stacks. I didn't want to put the books in jeopardy, but I figured I might be better off in the shelf works. No one knew them better than I did, except possibly Jessica. Jessica! Now there's an idea. Maybe I could switch her on and have her create a diversion. If nothing else, she could talk him to death, and at best, he'd blast her. The pirate interrupted my brainstorm when an accelerated beam took out a chunk of the shelf to my left. I ran into the stacks and started weaving through the shelves. Occasionally, I'd fire a shot in his general direction, but I tried to stay moving. Now was not the time to make a stand. I weaved into the portside exit out of the storage area and dashed back into the docking bay. Leaving the area, I heard the pirate cursing behind me, but I could tell he was having trouble finding his way through the shelving. Hopefully, I thought, it'd be at least a minute or so before he found the exit, and it'd take him another few seconds to realize where I'd gone. Grinding to a halt on the docking platform, I grabbed the cart I'd loaded Jessica onto earlier and shoved it out of sight of the door. Ducking behind a few crates, I blindly fumbled around her metallic back until I found the power switch. I flipped it on, and that damned happy sing-song voice played out its normal routine.
Power on and loading. I am the Johar Enterprise's sorting, shelving, and inventory control android, Jessica version 6.2. Please wait while personality systems are brought online.
Hey, what did you turn me off for, Skylar? Jessica, for once in your existence, shut up. I hissed under my breath and clapped a hand over her vocal output. Her automated eyes narrowed, fixing me in that little confused glare that she gets. I peeked around the corner, but saw nothing. I thought I could hear footsteps in the gangway, but it was hard to make them out over the ambient noise of a loading dock and a gregarious automaton still vocalizing underneath my hand. I turned back to Jessica and put my finger over my lips.
Jessica, listen to me, damn it. There's some guy on board. He's got tow cables latched onto the hull of the ship, and he's trying to either kill me or kidnap me. I don't know which, and I don't care, because neither of them sound particularly great.
By this time, I was sure I heard the sound of boots coming down the gangway outside the door. Wait a second, Skylar, Jessica said quietly for a change. The shock of hearing her voice in a whisper made me whip my head back around to stare at her. She didn't seem to notice that, though. You're telling me that we have a pirate on board, and he's trying to steal the books? The footsteps were louder now. My pulse raced, and I felt my palms go slick with sweat over the pistol's grip.
Yeah, judging by the sound, I'd say he's right out.
I was cut off by the crack of a blaster rifle, and the smell of ozone as the bolt ripped through the air above me. I stuck my hand around the crates and blindly fired a couple of shots. He sent another volley at me, and I hunkered down, taking a look around. Perfect. I'd worked myself into a corner. I couldn't get out of here because all that lay in front of me were a couple of stacks of crates. He blocked the only door out of the docking bay. I checked the charge on my pistol and saw that I probably had another 15 shots left. Everything went quiet for a minute, and that's what stunned me. No ray gun fire, no blaster fire, and not a word out of Jessica. I turned to her with an idea for a diversion and found that she wasn't there.
What the hell?
Where did she go? That miserable little android. I'm about to get killed out here in the depths of space just because I was too dumb and stubborn to just let the pirate take the damn books. And my page deserts me just when I needed her to take a couple of shots in the chest while I tried to kill the guy trying to kill me. This was most definitely not in my job description. I was ready to throw the pistol out and think about how I'd negotiate a surrender just before a blast wave shot over my head and the heat knocked me to the ground. Screw this, I thought. I'm not going down without a fight, and if he wants to haul out the big guns... I didn't even get to finish my thought when another heat wave threw me back against the crates. That's when I realized that the shots weren't coming from the direction of my attacker. I looked up from the ground and gaped at the sight before me. Jessica tore out from behind a stack of crates, not going around them, but through them, knocking them aside and throwing them all over the bay. Her ball drive marked the floor as she rolled at him. Both of her hands held an ion ray gun, much like mine, but she was a far better shot than me. Her chest appeared open, and I thought she'd been hit until another heat blast flashed from within it. My God, did she have a cannon concealed in her little robotic bosom? The pirate swore, and I heard his rifle throw another shot at the android, who deftly avoided it and returned fire. Blue flames spit from the barrels of her pistols as rays traced their way across the docking bay. I heard them smack into a wall, and the pirate let off a truly impressive stream of profanity. Good, I smiled to myself. That sucker is having just as much difficulty coping with this new threat as I was, just on a more personally dangerous level. I popped my head up over the crates and saw him stick his neck out just enough to get off a shot and jump behind the door again as Jessica unloaded a rapid-fire stream of ionized energy into the wall near his midsection. I had an idea. I bolted from my spot and used the crates scattered by Jessica's rampage. Who knew a page could be so driven to violence? A couple of shots from the pirate went wide and singed my shoulder, but it missed the flesh altogether. I hopped, ran, and cussed my way from crate to crate, and finally succeeded in getting to a position on the side opposite my newly psychotic robo-page. Two more rounds from Jessica's chest cannon tore the frame of the door into a mixture of silvery shreds and molten metal. He stepped out again and took aim at Jessica. With all his concentration on the android, he never saw me. Sight in, breathe deeply, exhale slightly, and give that trigger a gentle squeeze. He dropped hard as the ion ray tore his legs out from underneath him. Jessica saw the shot hit and wheeled over to him quicker than I could blink. He was still alive and reaching for a pistol at his side, but the sight of a sphere-drive feminine robot carrying two ray guns and hauling a cannon in her chest made him think twice about his plans. He slumped to the deck, banging his head against the floor repeatedly, while complaining about how he got taken by a librarian. I grinned halfway and thought about dancing on his wounded legs when the communication link blared a call tone. I walked over to the unit on the wall and switched it on. The rippled orange face of a Tadorian wearing a Galactic Protectorate uniform appeared on screen. "Hey, ma'am. Officer Rilgus here. Got a distress call from someone named Jessica. She said you were having a problem?" I turned to look at my page, occasionally ratcheting the cannon in her chest when the pirate jerked in reaction to the pain no doubt coursing through his mangled legs. "Well, we did, but I think my page has things pretty well covered." A few minutes later, I was on board the pirate ship, backing it out of the dock, and figuring out how to release the tow cables he so rudely attached to my library. The Protectorate docked his ship and took our uninvited guest into custody. Redocking the pirate ship and boarding mine, I overrode the ship-to-ship connections, releasing it from my airlock and allowing the cop to latch on and take it into impound. Just as I finished punching the final sequence and wishing the Tadorian well on his way, Jessica rolled up to me. I blinked in amazement as two compartments whirred open above her sphere and she skillfully holstered both ray guns, the holsters closed with a hydraulic snap. So, Jessica, sorry about, shutting you off, I said. I guess I was just a little annoyed by you talking so much. Really, Skylar? I was just trying to be friendly. You have to understand. The last librarian working out here on the periphery was an automated model and boring as hell because they're not manufactured for conversational abilities. I walked and she rolled back into the book stacks, and she let out a small electronic gasp at the mess the pirate had made when he pursued me. Sorry, Jessica, I said. I'll help you clean it up.
Don't you dare, she cut me off, excitedly rocking back and forth on her ball. You know how long it's been since I've actually had something to do? Something to put away?
Something to shoot at, I said, raising an eyebrow.
So when exactly did they start outfitting page bots with heavy weapons?
Oh, that's a new feature of the 6.2 Jessica models. It was a response to the growing book theft problem. With the black market demand on stolen books, Johar Enterprises decided to make the page androids with enhanced inventory control features. I'm one of the first Jessica models. They called the earlier models Jesse, Johar Enterprises sorting and shelving employees. Jesse looked a lot like me, except they had wheel drives and they weren't armed. Oh, and they had male personalities and broader shoulders with brass highlights.
Jessica, I said, cutting her off.
Yeah, Skylar?
Shut up.
And hey, that about wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I want to thank you and thank all of my listeners for sticking with me through 30 episodes and for tuning into this one. Hope you enjoyed the story time and, you know, didn't have to think so much about all the tech tips and tricks that we usually cover here on the show. And, you know, hopefully you got a kick out of the fevered science fiction dreams of a librarian nerd. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Archive at archive.org. Great people doing great things, saving and preserving bits and pieces of the internet, and offering up some of the greatest content online. Check out the Archive for things like podcasts and the Prelinger Video Archive and all kinds of cool stuff like that. And hey, retro video games that you can play right there on the website through your browser. How can you go wrong? Thearchive.org with retro video games and podcasts. That's a little slice of heaven, if you ask me. The song you're currently digging on is usually the opening of the show, and it's Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita. You can pick that up at the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. And hey, all of the sound effects that you heard during this episode were provided by freesound.org. I'll have links in the show notes for all of that stuff that you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. If you want to get in touch with me, I certainly encourage you to do so. You can hit me up on Twitter. I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but with a B. You can also pick me up on Google Plus at google.com/plusDanielMesser. Or if you want to try the old email style of communication, I am cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. And with that, I'm going to sign off of this episode, let you get back to your life. And hey, thanks again for tuning in and for sticking with me through all of these episodes. I really appreciate it. And I hope you tune in again for at least another 30 more, because I think I've got that many shows left in me. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Either way, I just want to remind you that you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time on the next episode.